Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Dr. Jessica B. Turner, is a small-town veterinarian who traded in her stethoscope to become an online wellness life coach, speaker, and writer. Along with Jessica's career change came the discovery of who Jesus Christ really is and how he was the missing piece for her to be able to move forward in past trauma that she had suppressed for decades. Jessica loves Jesus and openly shares her journey of healing from miscarriage, suicide loss, and anxiety depression. Good morning, Jessica. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, Patty. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jessica, I'm so excited to talk with you. As I shared before the show, I have a granddaughter who is pursuing a veterinary career, but also I worked in psychiatric nursing for almost 40 years.
Connections, oh, wow.
There, so it's going to be really fun to to visit with you this morning.
I agree.
Well, Jessica, you traded your veterinary practice for an entirely different career path. Can you tell us what motivated you to make that change?
So it was definitely not planned. You know, I was always one of those people that said I would never be a stay-at-home mom. I have that drive to want to work and just make a difference. But when I found out I was expecting twins in 2014, my boss kept telling me, and he was like a grandfather to me, but he kept telling me, you're not going to come back. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Like, I can't imagine staying at home with two babies. Like, I'd go nuts. But he just kept laughing, and he just would always say it, like, you're not going to want to leave them. And part of that was true, but it took me a while to realize that because I had a really difficult pregnancy with them. I was on bed rest for half of it, and then I had a really rough postpartum experience. And so I was actually looking forward to going back to work, but I got to a breaking point when they were around 7 months or so and realized I had to make some changes. And in the process of making those changes on myself, which started with just working out more and taking better care of myself, I realized that I did want to be home more with them. And so it was a slow process, and it naturally happens with this new, like, interest in making better choices for myself and my wellness, that I started helping other people make some of those changes in their life, creating this different opportunity altogether. And so it kind of just, it was definitely God looking back. He recognized that I needed that emphasis for my own well-being and then gave me an opportunity to be able to share that gift with others and bring me home to my girls.
Wow, Jessica, that sounds like an amazing journey for you. It's especially scary to change a career path like that. So I want to congratulate you for listening to God's voice and following his plan and carrying out what he had in mind for you to do.
It was tough. And I had a relationship with God at that point, but it definitely wasn't what it is now. And so he literally had to push me out of that practice. I kept saying, okay, make it clear. And I mean, for a year and a half, I mean, I slowly backed off my hours because I knew that's what I wanted, but I really didn't know, am I supposed to give this up? You know, when you make a career change like that, especially one that requires so much dedication for so long, it's really hard. Like, you feel like if you're stepping away from that, then you're giving that side of yourself up altogether, which now I know is not the case. But I wanted to be so sure that that's what he wanted me to do. And one day I got to work and found out that my boss was kind of put in a position because he knew I didn't want to work more. And he wanted to get into the process of retiring and he needed more help. And so he had to decide to hire somebody full time and essentially let me go. And so that's why I say he pretty much kicked me out of the practice. But it was a blessing, for sure. It was an answered prayer since I was being stubborn.
I
feel like you when I pray. It's like, Lord, send one of those big planes over with one of those big streamers
that tells you what you want.
A banner.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially when it's something so scary.
That's for sure. Imagine it was scary. Here you had what I assume was a steady job. You knew when you were expected to be at work and when that paycheck was going to be there, and you jump off the diving board into deep water. Yes, it is very frightening.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that I have a wonderful support system with my parents and with my husband, and I'm very grateful that he has a job that supports us, and I was able to make that leap. I know there's a lot of people in my situation within my profession or any other profession that they know that's what they should be doing is making that switch, but they just financially can't. And I mean, it was a gradual process, and I was bringing in income through this other position, but like you said, it was not consistent. I mean, when you're your own boss and doing the kind of work that I do now, there's definitely a seasonal component to it. So it's, you never really know what you're going to be expecting in regards to income. So it's still really scary.
You say you learned who Jesus Christ is after your career change. And I wanted to step back a bit. As a child, did you grow up in a Christian home? Did you go to church or not so much?
So I did. I actually went to a private Catholic school till I was in eighth grade. And so I was exposed to it. My parents were believers, but we were kind of that family that went just for holidays.
Yes.
My parents were, my dad was a physician and honestly never got a break. So he was often at the hospital. And so that was kind of part of the excuse behind not going consistently a lot of times, because he was on call or he wasn't home and we just didn't go as a family unit. And it wasn't really until I was in high school that I kind of started going to like afternoon services on my own. But I really didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And I learned that after making that career change, you know, my husband and I have been together forever. Like literally, I was 14 when we met and he was 16. We have kind of been on this like faith roller coaster, but we were from different denominations. And while we believed in a lot of the same things, we kind of like never really dug into our beliefs together because we knew that there was differences and it was kind of a not great subject.
Right.
And when we had our girls, we knew we wanted to be unified, and we had a very strong example in his parents and the church they went to. And so we decided it just made more sense to go back to that church, because we would kind of like jump around at each other's churches when we were, you know, kids. And then we both went off to college and professional school and didn't do anything. And around that time, and when I was making that change in my work, I got connected with a husband and wife that were a mentor to me within my coaching business. And it was totally a God thing the way it happened, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just called to this conference and ended up in these people's house, and they were like teaching us stuff. But
neat.
She spent such a long time explaining her morning routine, and so much of it was time spent with God. And I was like, well, maybe I should like listen to this lady. Like, she's obviously very successful within our business. She knows what she's doing. So I left there, and I remember buying a Bible for myself, because I don't think I really ever read it. Like, it always just went over my head. And I messaged her and was like, I don't even know where to start. Like, it's just so overwhelming. One thing I did was I bought a translation that I could actually understand, not the New King James version. But she recommended a book called 52 Weeks with Jesus. And I remember ordering that right away and reading that in a matter of just like a couple of weeks. But it was a great combination of someone kind of holding my hand and showing me who Jesus was while bringing in scripture to kind of back that up. That was a huge turning point for me. And that was March of 2016. I have it written in my Bible.
That is
really
neat, Jessica.
Huge part in my journey. And I still keep in touch with them, even though we we don't really do the same things that we used to do regarding the way our businesses look, but they're really special to me.
What a blessing they came into your life, Jessica. Well, there was a traumatic event you had suppressed for several years. How did that manifest itself in your daily life? And how did you know that there was just something you couldn't quite put your finger on, so to speak?
Yeah, so whenever I started working on myself physically in 2015, I started digging into a lot of personal development, and I was just kind of learning how to find my voice and sharing. More so it started with my postpartum depression experience and just seeing how much of a different sharing that was making in other people's lives, because I felt so alone. It's kind of like I started peeling an onion, and it just kept getting into different layers of things that I needed to deal with. First, it kind of came to a head that I have disordered eating tendencies that started at a very early age. I didn't have a full-blown eating disorder, but something happened when I was in fourth grade with a teacher in front of my class that made me go home and look at every single box and figure out what was good and bad. And I'd log everything I ate and hid it in my closet and just established a really unhealthy view of food and kind of kept that with me. And that was like a tiny thing, but that was like the open door to, like, there's a lot of things that you've never really dealt with that you need to, you know, revisit. So I think, you know, we always hear that God's such a gentle father. He only reveals so much because we can only handle so much. That was kind of the first thing that came to light that I addressed and developed a healthier relationship with food. But the main thing that I kind of always just kept shoving was something that happened to me when I was in vet school. My roommate attempted to commit suicide, and I'm the one who found her. I mean, like, never dealt with it because I was in survival mode. I mean, I was in the middle of my second year, which is the hardest year. I remember sitting with our, like, social worker pretty much to get my tests moved, like, a day. I look back, things were just handled so poorly, and I think just nobody knew what to do. Like, I should have gotten help then, but it was like, there was no time. There was no way I could even do anything unless I, like, dropped out of school almost. So I just hid it. And, I mean, people that were super close to me knew about it, but it wasn't my story to tell. It was almost like it never even happened. She kind of took a break, and so, like, nobody really knew anything. But it really messed me up, but I didn't realize how it messed me up. But I realized that I get really anxious, like, when things are out of control, whether it's, like, my house is really messy because I have two little girls, like, during COVID. Oh, my goodness. We were living in a shop house because we were in the process of trying to save to build. So it was, like, 700 square foot with twin 5-year-olds. And so, like, I could feel myself getting so, like, overwhelmed just when, like, the clutter got to be too much, which was almost impossible to control in that season.
It was almost constant, I'm sure.
Oh, and then just, like, noise whenever they would get, like, and it could be, like, a joyful noise, like, of them playing. But it was just, like, when things got turned up in some capacity, like, I noticed, like, almost boiling over, like I was literally turning up the heat on myself. But I would almost check out. I realized it was almost like I would remove myself and I would just become this shell. And that was, like, my coping mechanism. What led me to finally get real help from a Christian counselor was, unfortunately, my roommate that attempted to commit suicide successfully committed suicide in 2019. And that, when I got that call, it was just all of that came back, you know. So I realized, okay, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, there's, my anxiety is directly tied to being put in that position. I had absolutely no control. So anytime I feel like I'm losing control, I just shut down because I never want to feel like I did in that moment again. I finally did the work, and I know I wouldn't have been able to do it without my relationship with Jesus, and I know I wouldn't have been able to do it the way I did without someone guiding me that loved Jesus so much. She used to be the church that we now go to, one of the founding pastors. It was his wife that was my counselor. She was such a strong woman of faith, but she also was very real about her own struggles, which is not always talked about among Christians well.
Oh, definitely not. Oh, yeah.
Which is why I'm grateful for people like you that are sharing stories like this, because, I mean, I've people that I love dearly within our church that just have that mindset of mental health being something you just pray away, or, you know, they don't understand it. And so it's very easy for them to say things that they think are helpful that are really harmful. I was in a situation in a small group setting once, and I adore this lady. She's like a grandma to me. But I finally was like, the reason I struggle with this is because I went through this. And it was kind of like, oh, like, I didn't know that about your story, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
But you never know, like, what people are going through and why they have depression or why they, or whatever, or just, they don't need a reason, but I feel like there's more people that probably have a reason if they started digging that they would potentially be able to go through, you know, I went through trauma therapy to be able to kind of quiet those flashbacks and be able to not have as many triggers. It's made a huge difference in my life.
I agree with you, and we've talked about this on other episodes too. Christians seem to have this tendency to believe that they're supposed to be perfect and there's supposed to be nothing wrong in their life because they have Jesus, and that is so contradictory to Scripture. Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us that, yes, in this world we will have trouble.
I think
a lot of Christians have a mindset of, oh, I don't want people to know I have this weakness, or that I do this, or this is my sin. We tend to have this facade that everything in my life is wonderful because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jessica. It sounds like you went through a lot. I'm so sorry for your roommate that she was unable to get the help she needed and that she was successful with her suicide. That's always so sad to hear.
Her story is an example of how God could bring so much good from it, though, because so much of my work now is in mental health because of her being a part of my story, specifically within the veterinary space, because suicide is such a real thing within our profession. And so I wouldn't be doing the work I do if that wasn't part of what I had to walk through. And you know, when you're in the middle of it, it's really hard to see how any good could come out of something. But he really does. I mean, he does it every single time. It doesn't matter how horrible something is, he could bring good out of it.
We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Dr. Jessica B. Turner, a small-town veterinarian who traded her stethoscope to become an online wellness life coach, speaker, and writer. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PattiSheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. You mentioned your postpartum depression after the birth of your 2 girls, and that's a very real issue among new moms. How did you overcome it, and what advice do you have for other women who face postpartum depression? What are the symptoms? How do you even know you have it? You know, after all, most moms get tired or cranky with the kids and from time to time. So what did you experience that told you, hey, something is not right here? This is not normal.
Yeah. So Mine was delayed because I was really confused as to, is this just normal twin motherhood? Because it's
right.
It's horrible. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Like, that first year was just downright horrible. and my two references of twin moms, their situation was, I mean, so night and day from my story. That was the first problem I made. I was comparing my situation to theirs, and I almost went into, I mean, having them with, I think, a target on me, because so many things went wrong, and I had their example of everything going right. They literally worked till the end. They had their babies, no problems. They took them home. You know, they were both breastfeeding successfully, all of these things, and I was in a bad half of mine. They were in the NICU. I couldn't do anything. Like, I literally was split an hour away from my babies for almost a month. You know, like, it was just, that alone was very traumatic, and it didn't register that all of that played a part in things until years after I already walked through it. But that's the first thing. There's so many factors that could contribute to postpartum depression, whether it's a traumatic pregnancy or birth experience, or your baby's being in the NICU, or if you have previous trauma. Like, I literally came across the list years ago, and I was like, I had like over half of these. Like, no wonder I ended up struggling after having them. But those things play into it. And the first 6 months of their lives, I was like, this is just normal, though. Like, this is my life now. It's just because I'm a twin mom. And I finally posted in a mom group, and I want to say it was a multiples group, and was like, is this normal? And kind of just shared, like, what I was feeling. I had problems with attachment, which I know is a real thing when your babies are taken from you and put in the NICU. I love them, always love my babies, but I'm actually about to celebrate my son's first birthday Thursday, and walking through this experience with him, I'm like, my poor self back then. Like, I feel like I missed out on so much, because the attachment I had with my son was immediate, and just like that love that, like, you're told, oh, you're just gonna love him so much. I didn't have that, and so I'd wake up and I'd almost wish for my old life, because I was just so overwhelmed and checked out. And looking back, I know the trauma I went through before played a role in that, because my life was as unpredictable as it could possibly be in that season. And so I just wanted to disappear. I didn't want to see about my babies. I kind of had like an anger component, but directed to my husband. It wasn't like a full blown, just like depressive, but I think a lot of it leaned that way versus like, I wasn't like an anxiety type, because that's a whole nother ball game. Like, you don't even want to leave the house because you're afraid your babies are going to, something's going to happen to them. I didn't experience any of that. It was more of my coping mechanism is to shut down and kind of go into that depressive state of just like apathy, really sad, you know, like kind of mourning my old life and anger.
Yeah.
And I recognized through going through trauma therapy that my emotional response to what I walked through with my roommate was anger. And so that's, I think, part of why I kind of had more of that anger component when I was going through it postpartum. And it really ended up seeing my doctor, and she became such a close friend to me because I was in the hospital all the time. And she was a woman of faith, which I was so grateful for, because she'd always kind of bring me back with her encouragement. But she pretty much sat me down and was like, I don't care what you have to do. You need to start taking care of yourself. Like, I was a pretty active person before I had my girls, and she knew that. She's like, you need to find a way to be able to get back in that space of exercise or running or whatever it is and have that outlet. And because medications weren't cutting it. I mean, I had been on medications for a month, and they really weren't making much of a difference. And then that's kind of what started the whole journey down the wellness coaching and everything.
That's an amazing story, Jessica. And I understand what you mean about medications not working. They take a lot of time and that can be really frustrating for a person, especially a person who is experiencing depression. I know from working in psych that some of those meds can take 6 to 8 weeks before a patient feels a difference. So it was frustrating for them as the patient and frustrating for us as the staff when they would say, it's not working for me. I'm not taking it anymore.
Yeah.
Mental health is very tough. It's not like when you have appendicitis and they can cut that piece out and you're done, you know.
Yeah.
Mental health is an ongoing thing that requires your attention basically for the rest of your life.
And we live in a world that's just so used to things being so quick.
Yes.
But no, I was laughing because I see that on the vet side of things, just, you know, if you need something to give it a couple of weeks and the owners aren't having it because it's not worth giving it because they're not seeing any improvement. I do want to say real quick, I am an advocate for medications when there's a place for it. I know there's a lot of, I've talked to so many women that are like, they think that that's, again, a no-no in like the Christian walk because it's kind of saying, well, God can't fix it on his own. But I'm like, God gave the people the wisdom to make these medications.
exactly.
But anyways, I went through, you know, from what I've shared, I had 3 different situations where I've had to lean on medications. And the first 2 when I was in vet school and after I had my girls, it was not a great experience. But when I lost our baby in 2021, I didn't leave the doctor's office without a prescription. I told her, I'm not going to be able to get through this without help. I knew it because mm-hmm. I was so blindsided. And that season of my life was the deepest I've ever gone into depression. It was horrible. But I told her I did not like what I was on in the past. And so we tried something different, and it was wonderful. And I'm still on it. I was just – it's just a word of encouragement for anybody that has tried stuff and it didn't work, or if you really feel like you need that extra help while you're going through your healing process, like, keep advocating for yourself and try different things, because there's stuff out there that, you know, can be the right medication for you.
Yes, and my doctor explained to me at one time when I needed medication, and I knew this, for goodness sake, I'd worked in psych all my life, I just didn't want to see it and apply it to myself. But there are certain chemical imbalances your body experiences that are not going to be resolved without medication.
Mm-hmm.
Would you share with listeners, what is your role as an online coach? How does that process work, and how can clients connect with you? What kind of services do you offer? Give us kind of a ballpark look at what you do.
Yeah, so good question. I'm always joking, like, I don't even know what I do. Like, it's so all over the place. But there's a common thread. I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday who's a local artist, and we could just talk about a lot of the same things as entrepreneurs that, you know, you can't just talk to with anybody. And we always joke about that because I dabble in the arts with writing and painting, and I'm about to do relief work for a veterinarian in a couple of months that's going on maternity leave, and then I have my coaching, and it's kind of just like all over the place. But there's a common thread of everything I do is to bring hope to people that are in a season that they feel hopeless and unseen. I mean, everything, because the whole reason I'm about to do relief is because this poor lady is so just stressed out about not being able to be with her baby after it's born, and she has nobody to help her out. And so mm-hmm. I'm stepping into that role because I'm able to, but more so mm-hmm. to help her out. And the same with, you know, my writing or, you know, painting. It's always to kind of convey my story in some capacity to bring hope to someone that's in that season. My work as a coach has kind of evolved over the years because for 8 years now, because my journey began with fitness and nutrition, I primarily worked with moms, almost all of them veterinarians, that wanted to work on their fitness and nutrition as a way of just being more balanced in their wellness in general. And then in the last 2 years or so, it's kind of shifted a little bit more to more life coaching, and I became a certified life coach during my pregnancy last year. And again, I tend to work, I don't have to work with veterinarians. I just tend to attract veterinarians because of the work I do with Vet Candy with my sure. wellness show through them. But it's honestly anybody that is just needs someone to walk along with them. Obviously, I have such a love for Jesus, and I naturally share that in a lot of what I do. Of course, I would love to work with someone, and our listeners are obviously going to be in that same kind of company. But I feel like he's such a key part of so many things that we're trying to work through that it's really hard to help somebody make progress if they don't realize that he's part of the equation.
I agree with you 100%, Jessica, that Jesus is the key to so many things in our lives, and sometimes it's hard to get people to realize that. And I'm not saying
yeah.
life would be miraculously wonderful if they realized that, but I think that it would be somewhat easier.
It,
I don't even like
yeah.
the word easier. Just less.
Well, it equips you.
Less stressful, you know?
Yeah, I just think it equips you to be able to walk through life. And whether that's you need to circle back and walk through some past things like I did, or, you know, just being prepared for the future. Like you said earlier, we're kind of promised that we're going to have trials. And so, again, this idea that, well, if Jesus is in our lives, everything's going to be fine is not true, but he is the piece of the puzzle that I've found that's allowed me to get back on my feet. I mentioned that when I experienced my miscarriage in 2021, I mean, I was in such a dark place, and so much of it was because I was convinced that this was God's plan. I didn't want more kids, but for some reason, the conversation kept coming up between my husband and I, and we were like, we were good. We had that conversation, and out of the blue, he said something again, and it almost made me mad because it was like, why are we even talking about this? Like, this is a waste of time. We know we're good. And I just began praying so, like, fervently, God, whoever's mind needs to be changed, change it. Like, whatever mm-hmm. your will is, help us to be one with that decision. And I swear, overnight, he changed my heart, and it was like, I think I want a baby. Like, this is crazy. I have not wanted a baby since we had these two. and so we started walking in that. And I mean, right away we got pregnant. And so when we lost that baby, I was like, what are you doing, God? Like, mm-hmm. why are you doing this to me? You changed my mind. You made me like wrap my head around even having another one. 'Cause we're no spring chicks. I mean, I'm approaching 40. And we were like, well, out of the diaper phase and all that, it was nice. They were finally taking care of themselves somewhat. And so in my mind, when he took that baby away, I was mad at God. And I thought I had a really strong foundation in him. And so that really messed me up, the way that I felt in that first month, because I put praise and worship music on, and I couldn't. Every single lyric would make me think, but why didn't you do that for me? Where's my miracle? You know, it almost made me more bitter when I would listen to these lyrics. And so I didn't know what to do, because it was like, it was my decision. I did it to myself, but I took him out of the equation, knowing that he was the only thing that was going to get me through it anyway. So it was just a really tough season. And honestly, it took something equally traumatic happening the next month that made me flee to him to get over being mad at him.
Wow,
which I'm
interesting.
Grateful for him. Yeah, and I won't go in details with that because it's not really a part of my story that we share, because it's my husband's story too. But I'd mentioned we've been together for forever. He's been my rock on earth, and something came to light regarding our relationship. And it was something that was a long time ago, but it truly made me feel like I could trust nobody. And that
mm-hmm.
brought back a lot of the negative that I thought I was finished with my roommate. So that, I guess to share all that, I want listeners to know that, like, you're not going to walk through healing and just it's going to be over. Like, yes, absolutely, there's moments where Jesus could heal us in a moment. But my healing journey with everything I've shared has been very up and down, kind of takes me back. Oh, yeah, you really didn't dig up all these roots. You need to do a little bit more work. But, again, I think it's because he knew what I could handle. Just don't give up. Like, it's so hard to keep pushing on.
You know, Jessica, this analogy just came to me, and I guess maybe it's something that God wants me to share. I don't know. But healing is not
walking through a door. Healing is more climbing a ladder, and sometimes you get halfway up there, and something kicks you back two or three rungs.
Yeah.
And then you have to start climbing up again. And like I said, that analogy just came into my head. And it's like, oh, maybe God wants me to share that. I don't know. But some people
do. No, I love
it. But if I go to a counselor or if I take these medications, today I'm going to feel lousy. All of a sudden tomorrow I'm going to feel great. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
It is an ongoing process that discouragingly can sometimes take years, or it's something that has to be ongoing. It's like the whole losing weight thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose 40 pounds and then go back to eating tons of sweets every day and expect that you're going to maintain that weight. It's an ongoing thing.
How can listeners contact you if they are interested in having you as a motivational speaker? I know that is
part
of
your ministry.
I just realized that I didn't really answer the last part of your question, how to connect with me. So I used to be very present on social media through Facebook and kind of on Instagram, but I'll be honest, since having my little boy, I've just been really soaking up being a mom because I felt like I missed out on that experience. And so I'm not very present on those platforms anymore, but I still am there, more so Facebook. So email is probably the best way to contact me at drjbturner@gmail.com. I do check my email pretty frequently because of different, you know, responsibilities I have with Vet Candy, and I'm on the board for LSU's vet school. So there's things that I can't ignore. So that's probably the best way. And I did want to share that just of this week, I finally, God's been wrestling with me, but I am starting the process of getting a doctorate in pastoral counseling because I feel like that's the space I'm supposed to be in and not just coaching.
Oh, how wonderful,
so
Jessica. Wow.
That.
Congratulations. That is wonderful.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Now,
I don't know what he's going to do with it.
You'll find out.
Yep.
Jessica, as far as your motivational speaking, how far of a range are you willing to, like, travel from where you live? Or do you do your speaking? Are you up for doing your speaking on Zoom and these kind of other venues that we now have after the pandemic?
I've been a part of virtual summit type things before, so I'm definitely open to, you know, electronic means of sharing with people. Honestly, it kind of just depends on the specifics surrounding the event. If it's in person, just depending on what's going on in my life at that point. If it's somewhere that I'd have to travel, you know, further, obviously I'd have to make sure that I can make arrangements now that we have another kid in the mix. But I'm definitely open to it. I've spoken on, you know, in regards to kind of what we've been discussing today. And then I do speak on the veterinary aspect of things too. So I do enjoy speaking. I like it a lot more behind a microphone though, on a podcast platform. I joke about, I like being behind, but I do enjoy getting out of my comfort zone and getting in front of people and being able to interact with people in that regard as well. So
okay,
I'm always
excellent.
About doing things that make me uncomfortable.
Well, Jessica, you have shared a wealth of information with me and my listeners today, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy lady, and I appreciate you coming on the show. So may God continue to bless you in your coaching, your writing and speaking, your veterinary work, and with your family and all your future endeavors.
Thank you. It was such a fun experience. I appreciate you reaching out and having me on the show.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.